Good evening, church, and welcome to another time where we are digging into the Word of God and we're trying to share the Word of God. We are all being built. We're all being made to conform to the image of Christ. But before we start today, let's just say a quick word of prayer. Father, Lord, it's your Word. It is you. I mean, you are the Word. You are the one that does the transformation. It's your Spirit that brings about that change. It's your Spirit that brings life to your Word. Lord, we ask today that there will be a flow of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, that there will be an entrance of the Word, and the Word, Lord, will bring understanding to the simple. Father, Lord, it will bring light to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, teach us. We have come to your feet. Let not my prejudice or my own mistakes or my own ideas flow. Father, Lord, but let your Word in the simplicity of it flow and let it heal, let it transform, let it change, let it cut, let it prune. Let it help people to become better and better, conform to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Welcome to this evening once again, and it's lovely to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor, and Pastor Wira, for the grace to be able to teach this evening. I do not take it for granted. Thank you for helping me and every one of us in Love Assembly to grow day by day. Over the years, I have grown deep, and God has helped me to be able to come to an understanding of Him on a different level since I joined Love Assembly. And I thank God. I thank God for the unction over your head. I pray that God will continue to fill you in abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So for those of us who were here last week, I'm just going to do a very quick recap, and then we're going to go into today's topic because everything links together. Everything links together. For this year, God gave us a word in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 from verse 1, he said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." That's the word of God. That was what propelled us into this new year. And that was what God gave us as an anchor verse to meditate on the whole of Isaiah chapter 60. We had that understanding that the light of God has risen upon us. And if you look at John 8:12, Jesus was speaking there. He said, "I am the light of the world." Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. So we know that Christ is that light that has arisen upon us. We know that Christ is the light that we are talking about in Isaiah 60 that we meditated on throughout the whole of December, and we've been meditating on over the course of the year. That Christ is that light. Is that light that has come upon us. Is his glory that we are manifesting in this season. It is his glory that we are shining out. But Christ also told us in Matthew 5:14, Christ told us, he said, if you look at Matthew 5:14, he said, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." In John 8, he said, "I am the light." But the light came upon us, and now we are manifesting that light. And he's saying that we are now the light of the world. We now carry that light. That light in Isaiah chapter 60, for those who are in Christ, for those who have believed and have given their lives to Christ, they are now the light. But first and foremost, for you to be able to shine a light, if you are only a reflector, or like what Pastor taught us, if you are only reflecting a light, if you take yourself outside of the line of that source of light, you stop to reflect. So that verse in Matthew 5:14-16 that says that we are the light is dependent on the fact that from what we learned last week, that we are in Christ, because he is indeed the light of the world. And the light that we are actually shining is his own light, is the manifestation of his own light. So just trying to recap on what we've done, what we've spoken about last week. And then we read in Romans 8 from verse 19 to 25. And he talked about the fact that the creation is waiting eagerly. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. That they are waiting for the full manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. He said, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit. If you read Ephesians 1, it talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the first guarantee of the promise of God. And here it's saying that we have the first fruits, the first guarantee, the first fruits of the promise of God is the Spirit of God. We having that Spirit, the whole world is waiting. The whole world is in expectation. But I asked myself, and that was what we've been talking about since last week. Why is there a disconnect? If indeed my light has come, why is there a disconnect? And we learned the fact that number one, understanding needs to come for us to know that we are seated in Christ, that we are seated in Christ. And it is in Christ that we can do all the things that we need to do. And also that once you become born again, once you give your life to Christ, there's a place after the heart becomes comes alive. There's a place where we need to be connected to the Word. We need to be connected to the Word of God. If you read in John 8 from verse 31, John 8 from verse 31, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, the first step, they believed, their heart has been renewed now. He said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you abide in my word. And then he now went further in verse 32, he said, and you will know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We said last week, for those who are just joining us, we're just reviewing some of the things we said last week. We said faith and deliverance comes by knowledge, comes by understanding the Word of God. That it is when we dig into the Word of God that we can actually have faith. It is when we dig into the Word of God that we get that deliverance. Because in verse 30, if you jump to verse 34, let's read verse 33. It said, they answered him, we are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say that you will be free? And Jesus answered them, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Now, those who will abide forever in Christ are those who have put away the sinful nature. After they believed, they made a conscious effort to sit on the word and to put away the sinful nature. Remember there, both the servant and the son, at some point, they were in the house together. Both the servant and the son, at some point, it seemed like as if they were together in the house. But he said, it's only the son that abides in the house forever. If you look at verse 36, it now says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And what has happened to us is God has come to set us free. God has done that salvation already. We read in Ephesians 1 last week, it said, right before the foundations of the earth, God knew us and he predestined us to be sons and daughters in Christ. He had done that work in Christ. The work is done already. And all we are doing is we are conforming ourselves to where God had already positioned us. He said he had positioned us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I'm just going to run through this summary so that but if you want to learn more about this, we just go back quickly on the word last week. And then one other thing that we talked about was the fact that our walk with God starts from a sitting position, and that it's an inside out work. It's not an outside in. And we talked about the fact that humans typically judge people by the external, but we understand that the things that we can see are framed by the things that we cannot see. What God looks out for when he wants to give a reward for the deeds is what is inside. God looks inside us. God does not look outside. He looks inside. He checks our inside. He checks us internally. He looks at us. He is particular about what we are doing. And that is what matters the most to him. That is what matters the most to him. We also said that God requires vessels who he can walk through. who he can use, not those who want to work for God. He's looking for people that he can walk through, who he can clean up and make use of, not just anybody who just wants to come around to do something for him. And we talked about the fact that the relationship with God is a two-way. I know God and God knows me. I know God and God knows me. Anything that is outside in is hypocrisy. Human beings will want to, first of all, make the external of the house look more beautiful. Most times the inside of the house is not as clean. But that's hypocrisy. We learned in Matthew 23 from verse 25 to 26 that what is key is for us to clean the inside of the cup. And once we have cleaned the inside of a vessel, then the vessel becomes clean. The vessel becomes very clean. Amen. Amen. Some of the other points that we picked, because we're looking at the analogy of the natural birth, the old birth, and we're looking at it and comparing it to the new birth. And we set that foundation that the first organ that starts to beat, when that shows the sign of life, when a child is forming, is the heart. And that was where God started dealing with us. He gave us a new heart. And then the next thing that happens is, as the heart continues to beat, one key thing that connects is the umbilical cord that takes the resources. And we say what we should do is to be connected to the Word so that we can have the resources for life. Another key thing that we talked about is the fact that when a baby is being formed, is formed in a place of rest. Is formed in a place of quietness, in a place of aloneness. And what happens is, as it continues to take resources, it continues to grow. Other organs start to grow. And that's the same also with us. When God deals with us, the first thing he deals with is our heart. And he renews a right spirit within us. The spirit starts to beat. And so far, the heart continues to beat. And we remain renewed in God. Every other organ, and we remain connected to the Word of God, every other organ starts to form. And once it starts to form, that son, that daughter, that the earth is eagerly waiting for, that the whole world is groaning and waiting for, is being formed with time. And with time, it comes to a place of maturity and it becomes manifested. And that's a journey. And we concluded by saying that we need to dig into the Word of God. We need to be in Christ. We need to dig deep in Christ. We need to be established in the Word of God. We need to be established in the Word of God. Today, I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I will start from verse 1, and we'll just read a bit. It's Bible study, so bear with me. The Word of the Lord in itself is life. So even reading it is life. It becomes reality in our lives. Amen. Amen. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. For though I'm absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Verse 6, which is the key verse that I'm going into. It says, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted. That was what we dealt with last week. Rooted and being built up in him. The NESB says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Can we just go to the next verse? See to it that there is no one who takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception in accordance with human tradition, in accordance with the elementary principles of the world, rather than in accordance with Christ. For in him, we touched this particular verse last week, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over every ruler and authority. We'll just pause at 10. It says, because for in him dwells all in verse 9, sorry. Let's go back to that. All the fullness of God dwells in bodily form in Christ. And then we establish the fact that God has placed us in Christ, so we are established in him. But if you track back to verse 6, which is the core verse that we are looking at today, he said, so then, as you have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built in him. Now being built in him. Today we're going to be talking about being built in Christ. Being built in Christ. Because once you are connected to the Word of God, once you are digging deep in the Word of God, what is actually happening is that you are being built. The organs are forming. You are growing. And we understand that we are being built on Christ. We are being built on Christ. If you look at Ephesians 2, like I said last week, the men have been reviewing the book of Ephesians, and we understand that when it comes to the walk with Christ and on our path to spiritual maturity, it starts with the sitting in Christ, being seated in Christ. And then before we can now start to walk for God, we have to understand our position in Christ. I'll just take Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 11. Briefly, Ephesians chapter 2, we are talking today about being built in Christ. It said, therefore, remember that formerly, you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, and strangers in the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were previously far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both groups into one and broke the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the hostility, which is the law, composed of the commandments expressed in ordinances, so that he might make the two into one person, in this way establishing peace, and that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having to put to death the hostility. He said, and he came and he preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. And through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. From verse 11 to 18, he's just talking about the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles have become one in Christ. We have all become one. There's no veil dividing us. There's no division in Christ. Again, we have all become one. But if you look at verse 19, which is the key verse that we're going to, it said, so then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Ephesians 2:19 is going to be our anchor verse to 19 to 22. And we're just going to dig deep into what it means to be built in God. Because in that verse 19, he said that we are being built on the foundations of the apostles. But the cornerstone, the base of that foundation is Christ Jesus. So reviewing that particular verse, because we've been talking about digging into the Word of God, we understand the fact that the builder is God. It is important to note something at this point, that whether you know it or not, whether we are aware about it or not, we are being built day by day. We are being built every single day. Now, the question that we now need to ask ourselves is, who is building you and I? Is it God that is the builder? Is it self that is the builder? Is it covetousness that is the builder? What is building you and I? Everyone is being built every day. Some are being built as vessels of dishonor, while some are being built into vessels of honor. But don't make that mistake of thinking that the Christian life is a bit static. Everybody is being built. That's a truth. And the question is, who is building you and I? That's question one. Number two is, what are you being built on? What are you being built on? And an addition to question one is God my architect and my builder? Or am I the one trying to build myself? Or are my friends the one building me? Is it the society that is building me? And it's a question, it's a post-seller moment for us to think about it. Who is building you? Who is building you? Number one thing that we learned about is the fact, last week, is the fact that Christ predestined us from the foundation of the earth. And if you have been built by Christ, what that means is that before the foundations of the earth, God had a master plan for you and I. God had a plan for you and I. God had a knowledge of how he wanted to build us into a temple and where he wanted to dwell in us. If you look at that verse 2, he said, so that we can become a dwelling of God. A dwelling of God in the Spirit. He wanted to dwell with us. He wanted to dwell in our spirit. And dwelling in our spirit means he made us in his own image, spirit, soul, and body. But at the time, sin cut us off. Our spirit got cut off from his own spirit. And then we became slaves to ourselves. We became slaves to the flesh. And we came into a place of darkness. And now Christ died for our sins. He has translated us back into the place of light. And he's trying to build us. But this is where the enemy becomes very subtle. He doesn't mind you believing. But when it comes to the place of building, it doesn't mind the heart just beating. But when it comes to the place of building, this is where it starts to sow different things alongside what needs to be built. And we need to just ask ourselves those questions. And some of the things I wrote down there, it said, every architect has a plan for what he wants to build ahead of time. God has a plan for you and I. It's not a mistake that you are here on earth. God made a plan concerning us before we were made. Before he even made the earth, he knew us. He knew where we would be. We established that last week. He said, when he was going to tell Moses how to build the Ark of Covenant, he gave him instructions as to what to do. Every single thing, details, how to carry it, how to make the ring, how to arrange the children of Israel. Details. God is detailed about our lives. He's particular about what he's building in us. My career, my home, my wife, my children, everything is being built by God. And I need to ask myself, am I allowing him to build everything? Or am I trying to build some of them myself? God is not interested in my ambitions. It is my own job to align to his purpose, to align to his master plan. I would ask, Psalm 127 says, except the Lord builds the house, they who built it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Verse 2 says, it is vain to rise up early. It is futile for you to rise up early, to stay up late, to eat the bread of painful labor. This is how he gives to his beloved sleep. When God is building you, he builds you from a place of rest. Remember what I said about the natural bath. that building, that formation of that baby in the womb is in a place of rest, is in a place of total dependence on the supply of food from the mother. And that represents also the new birth. When God is building us, he's building us from a place of rest. He's the one that is doing the building. We are not the ones that are doing the building. It is his word that is shaping, is cutting, is pruning, is helping us to be able to do. But are we allowing him to build us? And like I said at the beginning of last week, these are some of the things that God has been dealing with me on. Those are some of the struggles I've been having with Christ. Then the number two fact that I just put down is that the foundation of the building is Christ. So God is the builder. God is the builder. The site of the building is in Christ. He said he predestined us in him in Ephesians 1. So the site of what God is building, the temple that is building, is in Christ. If you are outside of Christ, God is not your builder. If you shut Christ out of an area of your life, God is not building that area. If you shut Christ out of your job, out of your career, God is not building that career. If you shut God outside of your home and you decide to run your home based on the norms and the cultures of this environment, God is not building your home. If I shut God away from my children and I try to plan the lives of my children on my own, God is not the one building my children. The site of the building is in Christ. If you look at the New Testament, when Apostle Paul was talking to us, he kept saying it, that it's in him. It's in him we live and we dwell. It's in him. It's in Christ. Outside of Christ, nothing else. And then that Ephesians 2 that we read from verse 19, it said that the foundation also is in Christ. So our location, our position is in Christ. That's where we are being built. And also the foundation of our building is in Christ. The height of a building, the height that a building will reach is dependent on the foundation. So the more that you can dig into Christ, that determines how you can be. I wrote down in my book, I said, a skyscraper temple will need a lot of time to dig deep into Christ. But a bungalow temple does not really need to dig so much, it's so deep. But the difference is the lives that will be touched by that skyscraper, the number of people that will interact in that skyscraper compared to the capacity of the bungalow, they are different. They are different. And if you look at the parable of the house, one that built on the rock, which is Christ, and the one that built on a shallow ground, it is easy. When the enemy comes, I mean, for those of us who have been joining the mid prayers, we're talking on Tuesday about the fact that the enemy always comes with shortcuts. He tries to trap us to take a shortcut to the promises of God. That is the sand. It is easier. Because when God is building us, God is taking his time to shape us. For Abraham, it took 25 years. It took 25 years of struggling and trying to balance himself until the word of God came to him to walk and be perfect. It took 25 years for the promise to come, and then another like 20 years or even more before God required Isaac from him. It was a long walk. So what the enemy always does is he offers us a different site, where it is easier to build, where it is quicker to build. But what happens is when the storm comes, it tears down the whole building and then the building does not stand. It's only on the rock that we can build. And that rock is Christ. That rock that cannot be moved is Christ. It is when we are built on the rock that, that we fulfill that word that says that we will be like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. That is the word of God. And then number two that I put down on regarding the foundation is that there's no limit to the depth in Christ. There's no limit to the depth in Christ. Christ has no limitations. When we're talking about the heart in 2020, we talked about the fact that there's no problem with the word. That what limits the word and determines the productivity of the word, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, is the state of the heart. It is how far, brethren, that we can dig into Christ that determines how much of fruits that we can bear. There is no limitation in Christ. If you want to sit on the word, if you want to grow deep and get to that point where like Enoch walked with God and after a while, God just decided to take him and it was not. It is possible. You can dig deep and God will reveal, like Daniel, things that are yet to come. The depth in Christ, I mean, there's no limits to the depth in Christ. The only limitation is us digging into Christ and trying to lay our foundations in Christ. I said again that the foundation is Christ. Remember that when you look at the foundation of the building, oftentimes, or in all cases, except for maybe some rare buildings, the foundation is buried after it has been built. The foundation is always buried after it has been built. And that's why if there's a crack in the foundation, if there's a fault in the foundation, pastor is a builder, well, by career, that was what he studied. And he knows that if there's a crack in the foundation of any building, a lot of times it takes a lot of effort. Number one, it's very difficult to detect. And number two, it takes a lot of effort for you to be able to change that foundation. And why would there be a crack in foundation? I mean, somebody will ask, but we are building on Christ. I wrote down there, I said, sometimes when we are building, we can mix and make the wrong mix for the base, for the concrete of our buildings. And that is why we try to talk about this. We've prayed about this a lot of times. We said, do not mix anything with Christ. Do not mix traditions with Christ. Do not try to mix and match with God. Do not mix your own knowledge of good and evil with the knowledge of Christ to be able to build. Because that is what the enemy always offers us. Do it quickly. Don't build by the word. When God says love, it's so difficult, it's so painful. What if the other person, why don't you just cut corners? When God says that we should not lie, why don't you just lie a little bit, a white lie? Or why don't you just withhold the information? At least you're not lying, which is also a lie. It says, do not mix light with darkness. The first thing God did after he said, let there be light, was he separated light from darkness. One of the reasons why buildings have faults, after we have built it, the person is great for God. And this is the thing that makes me to shudder a little bit, is the fact that we've mixed something in the foundation. The foundation is not all right. We have added some things that are not Christ. We have mixed some things with Christ. Now there's a crack because light and darkness cannot coexist. So what happens is if you have mixed a bit of darkness with the light in you, what happens is after he's been buried and you're now building, he needs to separate. Crack starts to develop. And I wrote down here, I said, don't build on cheap, quick materials that the enemy offers. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the gates of righteousness. Don't take the back door to come into the promises of what God has already given to you. Don't try and doctor those things to be able to achieve what God said he can do. Like we said last week, I said the word of God can achieve everything that he has spoken. God himself watches over his word to bring it to come to pass. Don't mix light with darkness. Don't mix light with darkness. And we also said something about us sitting, us spending time with God, digging deep into him. Don't let the time when you are studying the word be a shabby time. And that goes to me. Don't build in an unplanned manner. Just building randomly. With God, there's a process, line upon line, precept upon precept. And for us to ensure that we build right at the foundation level, because we said the foundation is Christ, we need to completely drop the old man and put on Christ firmly. We put on Christ firmly. And the verse that comes to my mind is Psalm 11, verse 3. It said, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? It said, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the sons of mankind. I was telling myself there that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? if the foundations of a city be destroyed, if the foundations of a home be destroyed, if we have not built our home right with Christ and not set the foundation in Christ, if we have not set our career in Christ, if we have not set our lives in Christ, what happens is whatever we build on it becomes very shaky. I will start to move a little bit faster. I can just tie together what we are doing. And I asked myself, I said, okay, if I'm being built, what is my role? What am I meant to do? What is my role? What is my role? We learned a couple of years ago when we were talking about Solomon building the temple and the fact that we are being shaped in the quarry, in the quiet place, in the noisy place, in the place where we are being caught, we are being pruned, is a place of pain. But what is happening is God is fitting us into what is building. And we use the analogy of the temple. It was Reverend Song that taught us, and he used the analogy of the Solomon's temple to talk about what God is doing with us, where he's building us. The stone does not tell the builder the position he wants to be in a building. The architect has a plan for every material that he's using to build. God knows where he wants to place you. He has a purpose for you. What happens is each material listens to the architect and fits into the place in the building where he has proposed for that material to be. So where the window should be, the window listens to the architect and fits into the drawing of what the architect put down, and the builder also put it down. Matthew 7, it said, "Build your house on the rock," from verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." I'll just stay on that 24. Okay. No, let's go to 25. Sorry. It said, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and slammed against the house. Yet it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." The criteria for us to be built in Christ is those who hear the word. We said last week, we said faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those who hear the word, but don't stay at the level of hearing, but they go on to do, they act on what God has spoken. So if God says, do all things without grudge, do all things without complaining, then they go on and they act on the word. If the word of God says you are blessed, they go on to act on the word. Whatever it is that the word of God says, they go on, they just don't hear the word alone. They go on to act on it. And that is our role in what God is building. That is our role in what God is doing in this season. He said, those who hear and do, they are the ones that are called wise, because they are the ones who have built their house on the rock. And like we said, the rock is Christ. The rock is Christ. And what they are hearing and doing is the word of God, is the word of Christ. So everyone, the criteria, we said God is the builder, God is the architect. Christ is the foundation, is the location where we are being built. But our own role, the only role that we have, is to hear and to do the word of God. To hear and to do the word of God. To hear and to do the word. And another thing that I just put down here, it said, although every individual stone is formed in the quarry, talking about the Solomon's temple when we were building the temple, it said, but every part of the building is dependent on each other. And Pastor was explaining that to us during the prayer meeting this evening, where he was talking about the fact that one of the things that the enemy tries to do when God is building a temple, when God is building us up, is he tries to cause disunity. If stones are fighting each other, if the window of the house is fighting the lintel, or is fighting the stones on which it's placed, if the roof is fighting the structure that is holding it down, what happens is everything becomes haphazard. If the stones want to show up in the place where the architect has not proposed for it to be, what happens is it affects the whole of the building. In the things of the Spirit, each and every one of us are being formed in quiet places. However, we are not lone rangers. We are not lone rangers. We're part of one body. We're part of one temple. And we're part of the church of God, of whom Christ is the head. Everything that is being built is being built based on the pattern of the word of God. Individualism is not accepted in Christ. We are one. Husband and wives are one. That's what the word of God said. The church is one. And what God did was he gave us different gifts. If you look at Ephesians 4, he said, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing with one another, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he continued to talk about the fact that there is one body and there's one Spirit, and that you have also, so he said, there's one body, there's one Spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith and one baptism. And it's very important. One of the things that spoils what God is building at any point in time is that disunity. And in this season, those who would manifest, those who would become the fullness, remember that what God wants to do is to build a temple that his Spirit would dwell in. And it is that Spirit that becomes fully manifested to the world. It's that Spirit that becomes the full conformance to the image of Christ. And one thing that the enemy drops subtly into our lives is that disunity. Disunity in the body of Christ, disunity between husband and wives, sibling rivalries, rivalries within the church, families having issues, jealousy, envy. We've been dealing with that in the prayer meetings. God is building a temple in this season. And God is not looking for lone rangers. God is looking for men who can dig deep with patience. I wrote another point down. I said, buildings take a while to be built. It requires patience. It goes step by step. You don't build the roof before you build the foundation. Some of us want to walk for God without sitting. Some of us don't want to dig deep to make our foundations to be in Christ. We just want to quickly have a roof. Just put on some pillars and then just continue to serve God. And we talked about the fact that those who run towards achieving their own selfish ambitions with Christ, they can cast out demons, they can do all those things. But the question is, are they built in Christ? And on the last day, will Christ say, oh, I know you, come into my bosom? Or would he say, I never knew you, even though they walked for Christ? I just want us to just reflect on this. In this season, those who would manifest the presence of God are those who have been built into a temple where the Spirit of God dwells, into a temple where the Spirit of God is dwelling. I just want us to just take a few minutes just to pray. God is building in this season, but would we be willing to be built by Christ? It takes time. The enemy always offers us shortcuts, and God is building. I just want us to pray for that grace to be built in conformance to the image of God. In Jesus' name, amen.